Hey there, welcome to the Spread and Essence Football Picks Podcast on Essence.com. Mike Cole joined as always by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. We are here to make our football picks. The NFL Week 4 is here. We're going to get into some picks for the biggest games of the week, including the marquee event between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New England Patriots, Tom Brady's homecoming. That's a big one in these parts. I don't know if you've heard.
There's a little bit of interest in that, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. As part of that, too, we'll talk to Nesson betting analyst Sam Panayotovic about all things Patriots Bucks and all things Brady, betting Brady, and kind of looking at Brady's betting history and how he's affected the art of betting on the NFL in his 22-year career, whatever it's been.
He's a unique character when it comes to the betting landscape. That is for sure.
Sam or Brady?
Both.
That's right. So, I know what you're talking about. Thanks for joining us as always. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, tell all of your friends. Like I said, I tweet this all the time. This is the perfect, like, Sunday morning. You're getting the chili ready.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon, you're getting your chores out of the way. Throw the spread on. Yeah. Chill, but you know, get things done as you.
I think coffee, and you give it a, you know, Alexa, play the spread.
Now we're talking.
I don't know if you're gonna land on this, but I'm sure if you talk to it long enough, you'll stumble upon our voices.
Maybe throw Nesson in there.
It's true. That could be a dicey proposition. So might want to say, yeah, Nesson the spread or Nesson football picks podcast. I'm sure you can get there.
As always, Nesson.com/odds. We have our weekly picks go up on Thursday where we pick all 16 games. We're not going to do all 16 games here. We'll just do a few of the best of the week. Last week, you went 9-7. I also went 9-7. A nice little week for us as we just continue to hover at or above 500. That is what it is.
Constant mediocrity.
I actually am below 500. I overstated my. My own success.
How about this? We get week 4 without buys.
Oh, yeah.
Now the 17-game schedule.
Instead, we get them like week 15 now.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So, week 14. Weeks,
it's gonna 6 through 14.
And it's going to completely pork over people's fantasy teams, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get into it, Ricky. Sunday afternoon, Arizona Cardinals head to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. The Rams, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, from which we're getting all of our odds, the Rams are 5.5-point favorites. Total sky high at 54. Public right now is on Arizona, actually. It looks like 3/5 of both the tickets and the handle on the Cardinals. I did think this was one interesting thing before we get into it. The Rams are the favorites, even money favorites, to win the NFC West at DraftKings. Arizona +450, Seattle +650, and the 49ers +275. So huge game. These teams don't meet again until December. Massive game for 2-3-0 teams coming off of pretty impressive wins last week. Who do you got with the Rams laying 5.5?
This is definitely a little bit of a gut check game if you're the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I think to this point, I don't think either one of us are really too high on them coming into the year. With some questions about their defense. And I just think so far, I mean, obviously you look at the record, the 3-0. Look at those three wins, though. I mean, that offense has been met with little resistance to this point. Going up against Tennessee, Minnesota, Jacksonville, among the bottom eight in opponent yards per play. Obviously a stiffer test this week against the Rams defense. I also look at the Rams track record against Arizona, particularly under Sean McVay. Overall, they've had 8 straight wins against Arizona with an average margin of victory of 31-11. They won by double digits 7 times in those 8 games. So the Rams really had their number. I think personnel-wise on the defensive side, they'll cause some problems for Kyler Murray. So I'm going to go against what you mapped out, how much money's coming in on the Cardinals right now. But I'm not ready to buy into them just yet. I still think that their floor and their ceiling is that huge difference, and that they're going to be prone to a flop here and there, and I think the first one comes this week.
See, I thought the flop would have been last week, or there was a chance of a flop last week, and it looked like at halftime after they gave up that 109-yard touchdown return to the Jaguars, maybe the flop was coming, and it came back and beat the brains out of the Jags in the second half. I'm actually going to – I'll take the points, and I'm going to take the Cardinals. I think, you know, to push back on a couple things that you said – you know, impressive win last week, which I called, with the Rams beating the Bucks. Nice win. Prior to that, Bears and Colts, two teams who don't look very good, especially offensively. And I do think you look at what the Cardinals bring in this week, I think they bring in a more, at least a healthier version of what we think the Bucs should bring in. And if I can, I'll explain that a little bit more. Tampa came in with some injuries last week.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown had COVID. Scotty Miller got hurt like midway through that game. Gronk was banged up as well. Now you've got maybe the deepest receiving core coming in. You know, Jalen Ramsey's going to do his thing probably against DeAndre Hopkins, but there are options there for Kyler Murray. I think they can spread the ball around a little bit more. Tampa also didn't have Jason Pierre-Paul in that defensive line. They struggled to get pressure on Stafford. And to the Rams' credit, they've done a very good job of protecting him so far this year. But, you know, you get Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, Jordan Hicks coming in this week. This is probably the best pass rush that they've faced all year. I think they're going to get back into the get into the backfield a little bit more and make things a little more unsettling for Stafford. You know, the Rams blitz the third most in the NFL. Kyler Murray versus the blitz. Only Russell Wilson has a better passer rating than Murray's 152.1 passer rating per Pro Football Focus. So maybe the Rams, if I were them, I would maybe hang back a little bit more this week. But he's completed 14 of 20 passes, 14 yards per attempt, four touchdowns, no interceptions, four big-time throws per Pro Football Focus. Like, he's been very good against the blitz.
When I think of Kyler Murray, like, I just immediately have this image in my head of, like, him just, like, rolling out to, you know, doing some magicianal work in the pocket, getting flushed out, rolling out, and just throwing up an absolute prayer that
so
it gets caught.
Yeah, and so like maybe the Rams are gonna adjust, but like this feels like the type of week where we've seen it so many times, like the Patriots, where it's all about rush integrity, like or lane integrity. Like you can't get too far because if you flush them out of the pocket, that's where you're gonna run into problems. And also, I looked at L.A., they're averaging 7 missed tackles per game. That's up near the top of the league or the worst in the league, depending on when you look at it. James Conner, nice game last week, 30 yards after contact. I just think there's, Arizona does enough things well to keep this game close.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how long they can sort of play with fire. Like
big-time coaching mismatch here, I will say that.
Yeah, like
I'm on the wrong side of that one.
Through the first three games, you look at the Jacksonville have that lead in the third quarter, like 19-10 or whatever it was. I think the Vikings had a 13-point lead in week two, which obviously Arizona needed Minnesota to miss a field goal at the last second to win that one. Like even at that week one game, that was, I don't know, I kind of look at that as just the Titans not being ready for that game. So, but
if I were to push back,
yeah,
this is by far their biggest like game of the year. Like this is,
oh yeah.
If they can't get up for this one, we're
you're in trouble. Yeah. So
you lay those three games out and it's like, yuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like they're.
By the way, do you remember what were the two quarterbacks that attempted the most passes when these two teams met in Week 17 last year? Because that was when both sides had an injury issue. They were dealing.
Oh,
with.
Jesus! It was like Scott Wolford and
John Wolford for the Rams, and for the Cardinals it was Chris Streveler, Winnipeg Blue Bombers legend.
I would have died in this room trying to guess that. I would have never.
I don't even
there.
Know if I'm saying it right. So the Rams won that game 18-7. You might as well throw that one out the window.
I would say so.
That skews the numbers.
Then it does. Yeah, smart move by you.
But so for me, I think it's just I could totally see Kyler Murray putting the ball in harm's way, and that's I think it'll be close throughout. But I could see a late pick. A fumble. I mean, he has put the ball on the ground a little bit over the past couple of seasons. Maybe that sets up the Rams and Arizona territory to sort of to pad the number at the end. That's sort of what I'm banking on here.
That's fair. That feels like a lot of points though for a divisional game.
It is.
Two good offenses. All right, let's go to, this is also a Sunday afternoon game, later window. Well, 20 minutes later. You get the Ravens back out on the road once again, heading to Denver to take on the Broncos. Broncos, one of the bigger surprises in the league so far, at least in my opinion, 3-0. This game is in Denver. Broncos, 1.5-point favorites against a team some people thought would be a Super Bowl contender. Total at 44 right now at DraftKings. It looks like a lot of people jumping on the Ravens here. 80% of the tickets and 2/3 of the handle on the Ravens right now. Where do you shake out on this?
I think this was a game that I kind of I don't know if I had it circled, but I had the cap off the pen ready to circle it before week three, as one to see what the line was going to look like based on what happened in week three. And I think things have sort of played out in my favor, because I like Baltimore in this game. I love the spot for them. I think Denver is going to lay those points because, they just pitched the shutout. Baltimore, meanwhile, just squeaking by the Lions on that last second field goal. So, there's a little bit of perception coming into play here. Baltimore's a team that I love in general as a road underdog.
It's like, because this is a brutal schedule spot. Like, they played the Chiefs 2 weeks ago, had to go to Detroit, come home, fly out to Denver, play in the altitude against a team that's running around with his hair on fire right now.
Yeah.
Then they're catching points because of it.
I love the idea of catching points with them. 6-1 against the spread in their last seven as an underdog. I look at that Lions game. I mean, they lost four defensive players 2 days before the game, including their best pass rusher and their best run stopper.
Are they getting them back?
So I would imagine there's a good chance they're going to play this week. Obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday,
yeah, so
it's still a little bit of time in between, so I'm, can't say for sure. I look at, Hollywood Brown had three huge drops in that game against the Lions. It totaled 97 air yards, the three drops, all of them on throws 25-plus yards downfield. So, there's just some luck involved there as well. And then, obviously, the big elephant in the room when it comes to the Broncos is just that level of competition that they've played. I don't want to just discredit everything they've done to this point, but, I mean, the Giants, the Jaguars, the Jets, that's a combined 0-9 straight up and 1-8 against the spread, those three teams. Two rookie quarterbacks and Daniel Jones. I just know. I got to see it against better competition, because I don't know if I'm sold on that offense yet.
I flip-flopped on this one three times. And the only reason I have to take the Broncos would be just because...
Teddy Bridgewater?
cover
machine.
I mean, and Bridgewater's numbers, the advanced numbers are through the roof. If you look at the quarterback tiers, he's up near the top. He is in Mahomes Rodgers levels so far. But I'm not doing it. I'm with you. I'm gonna take the Ravens. I don't love it because there are problems with the Ravens. They can't run the ball, or injuries have been well documented.
You could say that for both teams though.
True. I like what's his face, the rookie running back Denver has. Javonte Williams, yeah. But Lamar didn't look great. The numbers were not good at all. They made one huge pass in that final drive. But Denver, Jerry Jeudy on IR, KJ Hamler done for the year. Ronald Darby on IR with a hamstring injury. Bradley Chubb, ankle surgery, he's out for a while. That's a
middle
lot.
Of their offensive line is could be a problem.
I just this just feels like one where it's John Harbaugh has his team ready to go and they find a way to win the game.
Well, that's the thing too. And on the road in a game like this, it could be, and you were on to this last week and a couple of weeks ago when they played the Chiefs, that they're gonna roll the dice. What I mean? If you get into a situation where that late game scenario where they went for it with Lamar Jackson, they're gonna take some chances, and I think that's what you're gonna have to do on the road in Denver, battling the altitude and things of that nature. So
here's the other thing: thin air. Justin Tucker is just gonna
wallop
70-yard field goals. But I think field goals play this week too, so that I would not undersell that part of it. I think points are at a premium. Totals at 44. It's not gonna take a ton of points to win this game.
Yeah, the Broncos are, I don't know if we've learned anything about them yet. I mean, they're better than
expected. They've done the job.
They've taken care of business, but now it's time to see if they're actually legitimate.
Yep. Let's do this a little backwards. Let's go to Monday night, and then we'll do some. We save the Bucks-Patriots game for last. We got the Raiders at the Chargers, an AFC West matchup. Two teams both coming off of wins of varying levels of impressiveness. You had the Raiders holding on to beat the Dolphins in overtime, and the Chargers, very impressive win over the Chiefs. That game was in Kansas City too, as well, if I'm not mistaken. This is a tough spot here. Tough game, tough little game. Monday night, Chargers laying 3.5. The total is 53. The public is on the Chargers here. I looked it up. You know, this is a huge game as well. I didn't write it down though because I'm an idiot. The odds for the AFC West, but with how all four of these teams have played so far, this thing's wide open as well. So this is a massive game for both teams. Like I said, Chargers laying 3.5 at home on Monday night. Who do you like?
In the long run, I like the Chargers much more than the Raiders. I think that what they've done is much more sustainable. I think the Raiders have had some good fortune on their side in a lot of cases. Whereas the Chargers, I feel like you're starting to see them perform at a level that's on par with their talent. It kind of reminded me of the Chiefs a little bit. You know, like defensively, they'll give you the yards on the ground, try to take away the big plays, and then they have that explosive offense. So I like the Chargers in the long run. I like the Chargers to win this game. But if you can get it past that key number of 3, if you get it 3.5, I think 4 you're probably able to get it at in some places before kickoff. This is a scenario, divisional game. I'm kind of just going to take the points and sort of hope for the best. Because, I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, Derek Carr is playing at an extremely high level. I think that Raiders defense has probably been one of the most surprising developments of the early season.
I was looking for things to nitpick about. They've been good on early downs. They've been good on third down.
It's stunning, too. Like, diving into the numbers a little bit, I was not expecting that. Because I just came in sort of the season with the preconceived notion that the Raiders are a team that defensively they're probably going to suck.
Yeah.
But they'll be in some games. They'll be in some of these AFC West shootouts, you know, maybe with the likes of Henry Ruggs and, you know, just being able to air it out a little bit. And it's kind of been just a totally different script than I was expecting.
They're not taking the ball away. Like, I guess that's a point that hasn't been overly fluky either. Like, you look at...
There's a little bit of a...
A
little bit of a Cardinals factor there where, like, how much, you know, how long can you walk the tightrope for? I mean, you get the 2 overtime
that
games.
That's the one thing keeping me from...
They trailed 14-0 in 2 of their 3 games. So there is certainly an element of them dancing around the campfire and just hoping they don't fall in, which leads me to believe that, like, I don't know. I still have concerns about them over the course of the long run. Like, I think that when you look up at the end of the year, I mean, they're 3-0, but Las Vegas could end up in last place in that division. It's very much on the table.
Before I get into my pick, yeah, I looked it up. Chiefs still even money favorites to win the division. Denver, the second favorite, 3-1. Chargers plus 350, and Raiders plus 550. So Vegas is not buying into Vegas, coincidentally.
Interesting.
Or, I guess DraftKings is not in Vegas. It's a catch-all. I'm going back and forth. I'm taking the Chargers.
Keep going.
The half point is not going to scare me away. I'll take the Chargers. They have the best player on the field. You could argue they have the 3 best players on the field. Probably ends at 3 because
sure.
Waller's pretty good. I think they... coaching, I don't know. It's still... jury's still out. But I just think they're going to come up with stops where some of these teams that Vegas has beaten so far couldn't come up with stops.
Yeah, I think if the Raiders cover the number or even win outright, I don't like them to do that, but, you know, it's a free country. Go nuts if you'd like. There's definitely going to be an element of the Chargers beating themselves. Like, I think they've made strides in the right direction, but they're still the most penalized team in the NFL this year. They've had some issues in the red zone. They've left points on the board. I think back to the Dallas game, I think it was, where there were some points to be had there that they left out there. So I think this is going to take an element of that in order for the Raiders to pull this off.
Probably, yeah. Derek Carr, by the way, been awesome.
It's been great.
I don't know how else to add.
Somebody just throwing out, you know, passing yards as a barometer for how good he's been, which is flawed in and of itself, but then you also factor in that he's played 2 more quarters than most quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true. I think we're getting the...
yeah, like, get a...
It's closing time.
It is some inclement weather out there today, so... Maybe we're having a power outage.
Before the lights go completely out, let's get to the main event. Sunday Night Football. I wrote this in a column I wrote this week. This is the first time I think I can really say we'll be waiting all day for a Sunday night. You've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Gillette to take on the Patriots in Foxborough. Tom Brady's return to New England. He and the Bucs, coming off of a loss on the road at Los Angeles, have to go back out on the road, take on a Patriots team that looked terrible against the Saints. All that being said, Brady and the Bucs, 6.5-point favorites. Total, very high, 48.5. The public cannot run to the betting window fast enough to bet. This is the last thing I saw on Wager Talk. 94% of the tickets and 97% of the money on the Bucs here.
Yeah.
Are you also on the Bucs?
How can you not be? I mean, I'm sort of been circling around trying to figure out a way to back the Patriots in this for that reason, because of the sheer volume of money coming in on the Bucs. But I can't figure out a path to victory for them, or a path to even keep it within the number. And I don't even think it so much has to do with Tom Brady as much as it has to do with New England's offense. Like, I don't know if they're going to be able to move the sticks. Tampa Bay, good against the run, dating back to last season. You know, I don't think New England's going to be able to rely on like a short passing game. You look at that second level, the linebackers that they have swarming all over, you know, the tight ends and whatever running back's going to be out there, which you don't have James White.
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes running back, you can just kind of, they're pretty interchangeable. But I think what he brings, his skill set and reliability, I think is something that's going to be missed, especially when you have, you know, a rookie back there and Damian Harris, who's put the ball on the ground, obviously. The offensive line has just been an issue. They need more production from the tight ends. If this gets into a situation where, say, the Bucs come out and they jump out to a 14-0 lead or something, like, I have no faith in the Patriots' ability to throw themselves back into this game. And you mentioned this before about the Bucs defense being a little banged up and looking a little vulnerable against the Saints, but it just comes for me back to New England not being able to exploit that. As much as I want, if somebody has a reason to take the Patriots, please let me know.
I'm laying the points. No, I'm not laying the points. I'm taking the points. Excuse me, I misspoke. I am taking the Patriots. I looked this up too, by the way, on the Odd Shark database. Patriots 6.5-point dogs, as we mentioned. It's the third time since November they're catching a touchdown at home. It hadn't happened since November of 2001. So that kind of tells you where, you know, Brady, Belichick, and the Patriots all three kind of have converged and go apart. James White injury hurts. I think that would have been a key part of this attack in terms of like a nice safety valve. I'm putting a lot of faith in the fact that it sounds like Trent Brown is trending toward playing for the Patriots. That helps that offensive line, which just looks like a complete sieve. So I think if you can get Mac a little bit more protection, I think the Patriots probably try to run the ball here, which is probably not going to work now that I say it out loud, because the Bucs run defense has been pretty good for the last few years. But I look at last week, you know, I mentioned the JPP thing. Without him, they didn't register a sack until there was like 6 minutes left in that game. They generated just 6 pressures all game. If they can't get after Mac Jones, then that's going to be tough. I think you're going to see a lot of Brandon Bolden again, but he's not going to be running the ball much. I think he's going to be in there for blitz pickup, because nobody blitzes more than the Bucs. And only Derek Carr, actually, by the way, has been blitzed more than Mac Jones this year. So I think you can expect a heavy dose of extra guys coming Mac's way this week. And I think he stands in there, finds where they're going to build a game plan around that, kind of exploit that. You're going to see gadget plays, guarantee it, put it, you know, take it to the bank.
You're going to need to.
If there's a prop bet for total passers, you know, I know that's one of the Super Bowl I love every year, over 2.5, I would take the over. I think somebody throws Jacoby Myers throws a ball here. I think if, assuming that locker room likes Bill Belichick, like, I think this is one where they come out ready to go. And I, That might have been a look ahead last week. I hate to. That just doesn't seem very Patriots-esque. There's a lot of guys in there who probably don't give a damn about Tom Brady, but
nothing about that game was Patriots-esque.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the
that's part of my thing,
errors, like the very uncharacteristic mistakes. Not even just last week, but throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
It almost felt like they were like playing into the narrative of Mac Jones not being able to throw downfield, or like, you know, the training wheels on.
I was like, he saw it. You can't do it.
It almost felt like they came out against the Saints. They're like, oh yeah, well, we're going to show you can throw the ball downfield. Yeah. And then he finished 3 for 19 with 2 interceptions on throws of at least 15 yards downfield. So he didn't pass that test.
So maybe we don't do that this
probably week. Not going to want to do that. So I don't know. Maybe it's just back to what works and you're able to turn this game, get it a little ugly, which I think is what they should have did against New Orleans. So maybe they get back to that recipe, but yeah.
I think they find a way to run
mismatch.
The ball. I think they find a way to run the ball and they slow down the game. This, I think it comes down to the wire just because, again, I'm buying way too much into narratives, but like I think it's Brady leads a comeback and they find a way to win late. Or they ice it late with like he makes a big play to midfield where the Patriots need to get off the field, he ices it or something like that.
They say it
within the number.
The Patriots have to go out all Trent Dilfer, but it might just not be good anymore.
I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, just they're a pretty middle of the road team.
This feels like a spot you got to get up though.
Oh, you gotta, you better.
So that's the thing. If they get killed this weekend, like that is proof that they suck.
Oh yeah, there's no regular season game that you can. There's no scenario where you could possibly get as hyped up as you will for this Sunday night.
I agree.
So. Unless it's late in the season and you have a playoff berth on the line or something, but they might as well because you fall to 1-3.
Yep.
That's another thing. It's like Tom Brady narrative aside, this is a big game for the Patriots. Like you fall into that 1-3 hole, and all of a sudden you're.
I was looking at their schedule.
An uphill climb.
Clear path 3-7. So it's not good. All right, let's talk to Sam. Sam Panayotovich coming up to talk to us about Patriots Bucks. So let's go talk to Sam. Now we welcome in Nesson betting analyst Sam Panayotovich to talk all things Tom Brady, Patriots, and a little bit of Bucks ahead of the only real storyline worth discussing this week, especially here in New England. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. I'm watching the point spread already up. Tampa 5.5 open, already some 6.5s and some 7s. I guess my first piece of advice would be if you like to bet the Patriots in this game, just wait until kickoff. You'll probably get the biggest number possible. I don't know that we get to 7.5, but I imagine this market is 7 by Sunday night.
That's something I mentioned earlier because I'm leaning that way with the Patriots for reasons I've already explained. But like, that definitely feels. You look at the numbers and where they're coming, how it's changed, where the money's coming, it does feel like it's going to get steamed a little bit more. So I do wonder, though, like, at a certain point, there's going to be a breaking point with, like, Bill Belichick, too, maybe, right? I don't know. Like, people are like, 7.5 at home, Bill Belichick?
There will be some resistance, but the problem with a Sunday night game, like, if I'm taking bets and people are coming up to my window on Sunday morning, the Buccaneers side is going to be in every parlay.
So, and that's the other thing too. Yeah, the fact that it's a Sunday night game completely flips this on its head too.
And there's rollover there too.
Right and everything,
Ricky. Yeah. You know, like all these parlays that hit in the 1 o'clocks, and then in the 4 o'clocks, and then you know it's a 16 parlay, and the last leg is either Buccaneers minus the points or Buccaneers money line. So some books are going to be so liable, they're going to need the Patriots so bad that they might even hang a 7.5 just to get some money back on New England. Because if Tampa wins by 10, 13, the books are going to get slaughtered.
And if that's 6.5, that's a big-time teaser spot, too, where it's like, give me the Patriots or the Bucks and the Packers on a 6-point teaser. It's like, get those both down to pick 'em. Like, yeah.
Were you surprised at all where it opened? Or is that right about where sort of expected it to be?
So look ahead number in the offseason was about 3.5 or 4. So we've already adjusted it 3 whole points. That's a lot, for the math guys. And I think there are some guys that are just waiting. Like I said, the early money is going to come in on Tampa, and it did 5.5, 6. And the late money probably comes in on the dog. But as we've learned on this show, some of those sharp guys, they think they're so sharp taking good numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, how many sharp guys took the Jags in week three, the Jets in week three? Oh, you can't lay 10.5 with Teddy Bridgewater. Yes, you can. So I think some people get lost in that, in the wheel sometimes, where you're betting numbers instead of teams. And in all reality, did you really want to bet on the Jets or the Jags, or did you bet the number?
This has been my point for 3 weeks. Finally coming to my side. Did last week affect anything, do you think? Like, the Patriots looked as bad as they've looked in a very long time. But then the Bucs lost too, so I don't know if that – I guess it's a kind of nets out.
I think the biggest surprise is the total being around 50
sure,
when
yeah.
it opened up. You know, we've discussed this now, how Patriots have been, you know, dead under three times, three games, three unders. Can Mac beat this secondary, though? Maybe. I don't know. Like, Matthew Stafford carved them up, but Matthew Stafford's a very good quarterback playing at an extremely high level with a coordinator who lets him do what he wants, and they actually have talent at the wide receiver position. I don't know that all those things are true in New England. Mac Jones clearly, you know, not that dude yet inside the red zone, and I wouldn't bet over on this one. I don't care. And everybody says, well, Brady's going to do this, Brady's going to do that, Brady won't be stopped. I keep going under that number.
Yeah.
49.
JPP's hurt. They might get Trent Brown back. But, like, James White's hurt. Like, so there's – I'm still not – to your point, I'm not ready to fire on the Patriots offense just yet.
Bill doesn't want to – plugging holes.
He doesn't want a shootout either.
Right,
you think Bill
true.
Wants yeah. to let Mac Jones try and go, you know, up and down the field with Brady?
Do you think Bill wants Brady on the field trying to run up the score either?
They might need Cam for this game. Just care. Run. Move the chains. Just true. Run the ball.
So I'm leaning Brady this week. Tell me why that's a bad idea historically.
Well, it's actually a better idea in the regular season. I pulled these numbers. I split them, regular season and playoffs. In the regular season, Tom Brady against the number is 60 games over 500. 178, 118, and 6. So he's been a really good bet in the regular season. The problem where you run into betting Brady is in the postseason, when a bookmaker will just throw 2.5, 3 points on Brady's team. 24-20. With one tie in the playoffs. So the gap a lot different, because they make you essentially pay a Tom Brady tax in the playoffs.
Did that happen last year?
I was going to say, is it still, like, difficult to separate Brady's, you know, track record from when he was with the Patriots? You know, how much of those numbers are when he was with the Patriots versus last year?
Well, last year they went, depending on where you grade the opening number against Washington, that spread was 8, 8.5. They won by 8. So it's either 3-0-1 or 3-1. They were dogs, though, Mike, to answer your question.
Yeah.
They were dogs in their last three playoff games. They were dogs against the Saints in the Superdome. They were dogs against Green Bay in Lambeau. They were dogs in the Super Bowl. But that's because they sort of just got hot at the right time. It's a little different, because historically in New England, they're the one or the two seed.
Yeah.
They've got home field or close to home field. And when you're at home and you have Brady, you're favored. When you're on the road in the playoffs, you're a dog.
They're playing garbage-ass teams at home in divisional round two. Like, how many times do we see Houston come in here just ready to lose?
And those spreads are 9.5, 10, and people would take the number, and Brady would win in 48-14 in some of those games. He also only – I think he only played in two divisional round games in New England. I think I have that right. Only twice he played in the only twice he played in the wild card round.
Right, that makes more sense. I was going to say it was a
sorry
about national
that. In the wild card.
Well, yeah,
he was never playing in the wild card game.
It was always the bye, and then you had whatever team limped in here. They always seem to catch the break with that too. Like, I remember they faced a banged up Colts team a couple of times.
They faced the Chargers, came in a few years ago, the year that they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That Chargers team could not stop the run as the Patriots were, you know, discovering themselves as a run first team. They just ran all over them. So it was New Year's Day game or whatever.
Let me correct myself for the second time.
All right, there you
go. They have played four times in the wild card round with Tom Brady in New England. Two games win, two games loss against the number. So only four times
that
here.
Far more than I would have guessed.
No.
But I guess, I don't know.
In 20 years, four wild card games, that's not a lot.
This is something that actually I'm interested in this, both in terms of Brady and just generally speaking, but like, what, I guess, like, you talked about the tax, like, if he wasn't playing this week, how much is he worth the spread, and how does that rank compared to other quarterbacks now and in his heyday?
So, I mean, it all depends on who the backup is. That's extremely important. You know, it's not only how good is the player and how much money does the player bring in, but you're talking about what's the drop-off between the starter and the backup. And I believe last year his backup was Blaine Gabbert in Tampa Bay. And this year...
Still Gabbert, isn't it? They bring him back.
Does it even matter who it is? Oh, Blaine Gabbert and then Kyle Trask in the second round. So... I had a bookmaker tell me in the postseason the drop-off between Brady and Gabbert is about 4 points in the regular season and 7 points in the postseason.
Huh. Interesting.
So they tack that on. Like, in the playoffs, Brady knows how to win. We know all the rings he's got. But there's a much more – it's much more expensive, I guess, to bet him in the postseason. But even when you say that Brady is only 4 points better than Blaine Gabbert, that doesn't even make sense.
So, like, 07 Brady is probably more akin to, like, Mahomes and Rodgers now are like Mahomes and Rodgers probably 6 to 7 points, I would guess. I mean, I don't know how close you were following in 2007, but it probably was higher back then.
I mean, the biggest drop off now is probably Rodgers to Jordan Love, and that's probably about an 8 point drop. I don't remember the 07 backup quarterback, but
you could probably Castle. I think. Yeah, I was gonna say you could probably look pretty easily look at 08 and see how.
Yeah, that's true.
You know how those lines compare to
07. It's system based too. I would imagine.
Well, remember, when Brady comes up, the defense, they won with their defense.
Right.
And then, you know, you get to 06, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those teams were better offensively. So I think he was a much better player in the 07 time. So, yeah, the drop-off is probably bigger than it was early in his career. And then the last Super Bowl, they beat the Rams, 13-3 or something like that. So, I mean, that was, again, that wasn't – I don't know that they won because of Brady. It certainly helped to have him, but – it's been an interesting roller coaster over the years. The team was better, like, as a whole early. I think the team was better as a whole later. And in the middle, obviously, he's the key.
Obviously, Brady is such a unicorn when it comes to, you know, trying to figure out this whole thing. But is it safe to say, like, when you look back at historical data, that you're more apt to look at it in terms of a specific quarterback or a specific coach as opposed to seeing, like, you know, the Seahawks are... 7-4 against the spread in their last 11 games against the, you know, Chargers on the road dating back to like 1985.
Yeah, I mean, in the playoffs, we're talking playoffs or regular season?
Either or. I mean,
I think the trends and stats matter less in the postseason, honestly. I mean, it's really oftentimes who's playing the best and who's the healthiest. You know, Kansas City, if they have a healthy offensive line last year, they probably win the Super Bowl. But if you looked at all those stats, you know, Brady, you can't bet against Brady in the Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, you can. You know, he's lost some Super Bowls. He hasn't covered in some Super Bowls. I think the two Super Bowls that Vinatieri hit the field goals, they didn't cover either of those games. Favorite, the one against Carolina and then the one against the Eagles. Obviously, the one against
the Rams,
they were a 14-point dog. Yeah. But, you know, they didn't cover in a lot of Super Bowls. So, I don't know. It's an interesting question. Let me answer it in a different way. Like, I asked Dave Sherapin, who's a longtime bookmaker in Vegas, I asked him about, you know, what it's like to book Brady in the playoffs. And he said from 2009 on, he can't ever remember the book needing Brady, ever.
That makes sense,
And especially when they go down live, like when the Patriots would go down or the Buccaneers would be down in a game, like they're down at the half. That is a freaking avalanche of money on Brady in the second half.
Man. Well, then you see it like the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs a few years ago. I think like Joe Ostrowski follows it really closely on Twitter, and like he's always looking at the live lines, and it's like the numbers don't even make sense when they were losing. That like it should have been far longer odds, and you get that now sometimes with I think like Mahomes might have even been close, like even money on the comeback trail. Like that just speaks to how dominant and how like expected. I think that probably has something to do with the money as well, is that people just jump on it the first chance they get.
Dave told a funny story. He said the game that essentially ended the Brady Belichick regime and caused the separation for good. He said it was one of the best in games they ever took because people couldn't stop betting the pass when they were down. And he's like, I'm in the back watching the game. Brady's arm is dead. They're dead. But it never, he said, the money never stopped because people don't think he can lose.
I also wonder how much of that's like an emotional hedge. I know I've done that before where I was like, somebody roots against the Patriots. I'm like, well, they're down by 15 right now. I'm going to bet on them. So just in case they come back and I at least can profit off of it.
He brings out the dollars. That's what it is. Whether you bet on him or against him, He's very polarizing in the gambling community. Very similar to LeBron. Whether you bet on or bet against, you bet. Because you're passionate either way. And I think that's a fair comparison as far as like dollars wagered. They both bring in handle.
It's good for the biz.
Yes, he is. I had a couple props real quick. Yeah. Tom Brady this week, 0.5 rushing yards.
He was our leading rusher last week, so I'll take the over.
Get that one scramble. Here's that's the problem, though. If he's on 2 yards and he takes a knee, that's zero at the end
he's
of the
not
game.
For a guy
he looked good, though. Like, he moved well, man.
For a guy, too, who just gets nonstop praise for his ability to quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
You get that 1 yard. There you
go. Playing the hits this week. Yeah.
Tom Brady to throw a touchdown pass to Gronk, plus 140, and a couple other ones. Brady's first pass to Gronk completed, plus 350. Will Brady have the most touchdown passes in the league? So if you're in a camp thinking Tom's going to come into Foxborough and throw 18 touchdowns, 14-1 that he has the most passes in the league on Sunday. So those are some numbers. These books are realizing what we've just talked about. If Brady's in the game, just throw up props. People will bet them.
I would say it's probably like plus 130. He breaks that record on the first drive, too. I bet you they just come out chucking it and get it out of the way. I think we talked about this. There's a chance that he just comes out in complete vengeance mode this weekend. And if that is the case, I would just go over on all the props. I would take that Gronk one because he's going to want to shove it up asses with Gronk, too. There's a lot on the table this weekend, that's for sure.
How much would you need on the money line to bet on New England? So the current price right now, you know, if you bet $100, you're going to win about $240.
I would do like 5-1.
5-1, that's what you need. It makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't take the Pats money line.
I don't think it's crazy.
Nobody thinks they could win.
Belichick is...
Well, which way are you leaning? We haven't gotten into
that. I'd take the under again.
What else? Like,
on the side? God. I'd probably take 7 on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I probably would. And I'd probably hate myself when it's 21-3 at half.
My thing. I could see this getting out of hand real quick.
This is like I said, this is just there's a lot of we're just clashing narratives here where it's like I've been victimized so much by both of these men that something has to give here.
This is what he does to the better.
But like. I'm putting too much stock in Belichick. It's going to come back to bite me in the ass because he has not been impressive.
I mean, if you are backing the Patriots in this game, it's blind faith in Belichick.
That's
exactly what it is.
You know, schematical advantage that Belichick is going to completely stop everything Tom does from a defensive standpoint. I don't think you're betting on the Patriots because you're betting on Mac Jones.
Well, I was
going
to say, I look at it, and this is a completely terrible way to look at it. It's like, this is the game where the Mac Jones era began. Was he outdueled Brady on Sunday night? And like, I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but like, that's the way I would talk.
That's how you
Or Matt Judon comes off the edge and smashes Brady under the jaw in the second quarter.
What if Brady gets hurt like the first drive? Doesn't break the record. The game just turns into just a joke between.
I think we've covered every possible scenario, and I still don't know which one my favorite is. I'm gonna go back to the under. Maybe Patriots. Let's see. Patriots in the first half.
We got the protocols coming into play this week.
Yeah.
You get plus 4 in the first half with the Patriots.
Yeah, I think it would probably be. Yeah.
See? Don't have to bet it if you don't want to, but we will.
The more I think about it, I do think the under is the play, though.
Which case, I like that. I like the plus 4 in the first half.
Yeah, that's right. If it's
the under in that.
We'll see. Flip a coin. That's what it is.
13-10 feels like
and then it gets away from them in the second.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And then, especially if the Patriots have to throw themselves back into this game, that's not happening.
Yep.
As we
said. Okay, first half sounds like in game under. All right, I'll write it down. Okay.
All right, cool. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks again for Sam. Thanks again to Sam for joining us. Always good to talk to him about a lot of the business of betting or looking at things a different way. With that being said, we're about to throw caution to the wind completely with our locks and upsets. Who's your lock this week?
So initially I was looking at that Cowboys Panthers game, but then I don't love the huge rest disadvantage there. You got the Panthers coming in after playing on Thursday night and the Cowboys playing on Monday night. So I don't know. So I'm going to stay away from that one. I'm going to take the Packers 7-point favorites over the Steelers. Obviously that Steelers offense in a bad place has been going back to last year. Now you're cutting into that wide receiver depth. Ben Roethlisberger still has not looked healthy or like a functioning quarterback. Even chipping into the defensive side a little bit, TJ Watt dealing with that injury. Meanwhile, the Packers getting back on track at home. I just don't think the Steelers are going to generate enough push up front to do anything offensively and expose whatever weaknesses Green Bay has defensively. Yeah, I don't know. This one felt a little easy for me, even the Packers.
I got the Saints laying 7.5 at home against the Giants. Don't think the Giants are very good, and they just rash of injuries. Linebacker Blake Martinez, a torn ACL. Sounds like both, Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton, both wide receivers, going on IR, at least will miss some time. They're down a handful of guys. And also, New Orleans probably feels pretty good about themselves, and they probably feel even better going home for the first time all year. This game's at the Superdome, so I think this is a smoke show in favor of the Saints. So,
bouncing around a little bit.
Yeah.
Back to the friendly confines.
Nice to get home, huh?
Yeah.
Who's your upset?
I'm going to take the Seahawks. Currently 3-point underdogs.
Going against your Vikings, huh? Or no, I'm an idiot. Sorry.
And, 49ers.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was looking at something else.
On the road, the Seahawks are very similar to the Ravens in that I love them as a road underdog. And I think that's a quarterback coaching thing.
How'd that work for us last week?
What was last week?
Last week in Minnesota.
Last week what?
Minnesota, wasn't it? Did they lose?
No, Minnesota won last week. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
the Seahawks,
Well, but I took, but I took the Vikings.
Okay, but then, all right. I'm just saying, it didn't work out.
But Seattle was favorite in that game.
Oh, that's right, they were.
So this is different. A whole different can of worms.
Barely. Like, that's what, this is where, and this is something, we have to earmark this one for Sam, where it's like 1.5 points, 2.5 points. Like, I don't even know how you'd start to differentiate when you get down to that mud.
But aside from that, this is a matchup thing, too. That 49ers secondary has some holes in it, banged up. If any team could take advantage of that, I would think it would be the Seahawks, given their knack for throwing downfield. Seahawks actually have an NFL best 7.4 yards per play. In the head-to-head matchups, if you want to look at that, 13-5-1 against the spread in the last 19 in favor of Seattle. So I think it's +135 on the money line last time I checked. So I think Seattle can win this game outright.
This is a one where it's like, I don't really have a whole lot to choose from here.
Upsets were tough this week.
Yeah, upsets were tough. I'll take Atlanta, 1.5 point favorite at home against Washington. And this is going to sound like an overreaction. I just don't think Washington's good. I was wrong about them. The defense has not looked very impressive at all. So I'll take the Falcons here at home.
Dallas is far and away the best team in that division, right?
It's starting to look that way. I think the Eagles threw us off their scent for a week, but they don't look very good.
Yeah. So. They're the only team that seems... even then, obviously, you're kind of just waiting for things to go off the rails. But talent-wise, that should be a cakewalk for
them. Yeah. Coach is a dummy, though. All right.
Very true.
That's the Spread and Essence Football Picks Podcast. That's Ricky. I'm Mike. Thanks again to Sam. And thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next week. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, thanks.
Enjoy the football. See you next week.